listen to the Tommy Schnurmecker Show live weekdays 9 to noon on CJAD 800 and CJAD.com.
For most people, Uber is a useful, cheap alternative to taking a cab to get to where you're going. They tend to be cheaper. The waits are shorter. It allows more people to make money as drivers. For the taxi industry in Montreal, however, Uber is terrifying. They don't want to lose a single customer. And the industry is so worried about it that they're going to charge each cab driver $5 a month specifically to fight Uber. Is this a good idea? The many cab drivers are convinced that if Uber ever comes to Montreal, it'll be devastating for them. My next guest says, not so fast. Not only is Uber good for the passengers, but it could be good for taxi companies as well. Joining me now to explain his position, Vincent Geloso, associate researcher with the Montreal Economic Institute. Good morning.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Now, tell us, why would Uber be good for everyone?
First of all, it's because dense urban areas have traffic problems. By virtue of better coordinating drivers with passengers, you have fewer cars on the street, so that means shorter waiting times. It means lower prices when you're traveling because there's more fluidity in traffic. There is less traffic jams. By virtue of that, there's a lot of savings for businesses and individuals in terms of fuel expenditures. And there's an environmental benefits on top of all of it, so it's a cherry on the sundae. Everybody wins. And on top of that, taxi drivers, basically what I've just said was the consumer side, but taxi drivers can also win. They can see more customers per hour. They can, by virtue of the fewer traffic jam, they have to spend less on gas. So more customers and less on gas. It's a great policy.
Now, if it's such a great policy, some of them really don't want it. There's in La Presse, they quote a driver, Stanley Bastien, saying that drivers don't like the idea. They don't want to pay to fight Uber. They don't want Uber, period. They say you can get rid of Uber very quickly. It's against the law. As the law stands now, the only people who can transport somebody for money in a car are drivers, taxi drivers or limo drivers. And they're saying just apply the law. All you have to do is find three or four people and give them massive fines. The next morning, the whole thing will be over.
Well, to be honest, it's not true that the entire taxi industry is against it. Only people who own taxi licenses. The poor guys who recently bought a license and are being crushed under interest payments, they would like a policy where they wouldn't have to pay such a large amount. And cab drivers who rent their licenses at $500 or $600 a week to just have the right to carry people. This is their largest post of expenditure. So if we were to abolish the taxi driver licenses, I mean, the fact that you have to purchase a right to operate as a taxi driver, leave the industry completely free of access, most drivers would actually gain because they would have much lower expenditures.
Now, I heard that there have been attempts to by companies such as Uber. What Uber wants to do, obviously, is to make money, but they also want to force deregulation on the taxi industry. You think deregulation is a good idea?
I think deregulation is a great policy. The only thing that needs to be done is say, listen, in the 70s, we adopted a very stupid policy, and let's call it as it is. It is a stupid policy of forcing people to pay to drive people around, to get the right of driving people around. So the taxi license, which costs roughly $200,000 in Montreal, abolish them, compensate the drivers who own them, so they're not losing their retirement policy.
Who's going to compensate them? Where's that money going to come from?
Well, you could do like Australia did when it reformed supply management for dairy farmers. It allowed a temporary tax on transaction, and the tax was used to fund an operational fund that would actually buy back the licenses. You could do it with government debt. You could do it over 10 years. You could offer government bonds for these. You could have tons of great plan, which would basically say, listen, we understand that the only problem right now is those who have bought the licenses and who see a loss in value of these licenses because of the competition. But it would be folly to abolish Uber and make it go away when it's such an efficient way of coordinating urban transport privately without a government bureaucracy around it. It would be a much better policy just to target it.
Now, you said you don't want a government bureaucracy. There was a letter to the editor specifically referring to your response to a former taxi driver. And the question they asked is, well, because you want to have deregulation, so does Uber. And they had several questions. Will taxi riders continue to have an assurance that taxis are safe and clean and that
Absolutely.
Taxi drivers are properly trained and insured?
Actually, this is the most rubbish argument I've heard in defense of the taxi industry. Taxi drivers right now are single individuals who cannot be sued. You don't know them. What is the market punishment for being discourteous, to have a bad quality car? Uber and companies like that, they have $1 billion on the line. If they have a bad driver who beats someone, who is unnice, or his car is unsafe, it's not only the driver who's liable for a lawsuit, it's the entire company, because they gave him the free phone that comes with it. They gave him access to their network, and they're the one going to be sued. So trust me, Uber and companies like that have a built-in incentive to fight back against low-quality service. It's their incentive to actually provide the highest security possible.
I find it intriguing that this person, Robert Hajali, who wrote this letter with this criticism of your report, he said that will cab drivers have that assurance of safety and cleanliness and the assurance that cab drivers are properly trained and insured. In many cases, they're absolutely not properly trained. There are many cab drivers out right now who have no idea where Peel and St. Catherine is. So they're obviously, many of them are not properly trained.
Well, you've just put the finger on what is the greatest thing about these new technologies. You can more easily know the quality of a driver now because there's reviews on these things. These platforms like Uber, Sidecar, and Lyft, they give you reviews of the taxi driver, so you know if he's a good quality guy. By sheer virtue of that, drivers have an incentive to be nice, to have good cars. There's a built-in incentive. In a situation where every driver is anonymous and you don't know which one you're hailing, you could be hailing the one you hailed last week, which offered you a crappy service. Right now, you have the virtue of seeing what other people say about that taxi driver.
Anthony from downtown saying the reason that Uber has become popular is because they provide a more user-friendly service to a tech-savvy customer. The traditional taxi model is outdated. And as a response to Uber's popularity and disruptive nature, the taxi companies are crying foul. Time to evolve or become extinct, taxi dinosaur. You think eventually the taxi companies will embrace Uber?
I hope they do. But the only resistance, as I keep saying, is only from the fact that there's a license that the government assertedly forced people to buy from the 70s onwards. And this is the only barrier for everyone to have completely positive benefits from Uber. I mean, just imagine, if you were to abolish the taxi licenses, everybody who bought a license, and you compensate them for the part of the licenses they bought, they wouldn't have interest payments to pay anymore. They would have a lot of room to cut prices and compete with Uber because they have more room to cut prices, because there's no interest payments to pay anymore. You wouldn't have to pay dispatching fees to the Taxi Diamond, Taxi Co-op, and pay a fortune in them. You could also, in that situation, lower prices without lowering your income. They could have room to compete. Uber is allowing that, these new technologies, and there could be a new Uber 6 years down the line, or 2 years down the line, or even 1 year down the line. It's easy to develop these applications, and you could develop a much better one. But in this situation, right now, the problem is only the taxi licenses, which you have to buy. It's the only problem.
And I think you're right. I think that whole issue, if that is solved and the person's not out 200 grand, they might think differently. I'd like to hear from cab drivers what they feel about it. Text your comment to 514-800. Talking about Uber, should cab drivers get Uber? Will it help everybody? Is it a good idea? Vincent Geloso of the Montreal Economic Institute. In studio, on the line, I think we have a cab driver on the line right now. Andy, good morning.
Hi, Tommy. This Uber thing is disastrous. It will kill many families and put a lot of cab drivers' families on the road, on the street.
Why will it do that?
Why? I took a cab loan of $190,000, and it's been 8 years, and I still haven't finished paying it off. And they're going to come in and take away my bread from my kid's mouth?
No, but Vincent said earlier, I mean, he could repeat it to you, that what if you got that $190,000 back?
How would that be possible? Who would be able to
He'll tell you.
Well, there's systems like the one we have where we have taxi, you were forced to buy a right to operate for $190,000. There were similar systems, for example, for milk production in Australia. And what they did was a temporary tax with all the providers, and everybody was forced to pay, every consumer was forced to pay a certain surplus on milk prices. And then there was a special fund created to buy back the licenses. So what we could do, one example of the many I can think about, would be to say, bring Uber to the table and Lyft and Sidecar and tell them, listen, every charge in Montreal, there will be an additional 5% to everything. We'll create a special fund and we'll buy back all the licenses over, let's say, 10 years. So you'd receive the money right now, and then you'd be progressively, you wouldn't be financially harmed from the introduction of competition. Everyone's aware of the situation where buying a license for $190,000 is unfair, and it would be very cheap to push people in the street because of a really dumb government policies.
Now, so what about that, Andy? Let's say you get the $190,000 back, you get a check, you deposit it in the bank. Then how would you feel about Uber?
It wouldn't help the way I feel because of the revenue factor. I'm still going to be making a lot less money because more and more people are going to be applying to this, becoming drivers, and basically all we're going to have on the road is drivers.
How much do you spend on the interest for that $190,000?
At first, I got a loan. It was 14%. That was extortion. I had no choice. It was the only way to get a loan because no banks give you loans for a taxi license.
So how much does it cost you per month?
It's costing me, I got a better rate right now because I went with Caisse Desjardins, yeah, which is the only ones that finance our taxis. And it's,
okay, never mind the rate.
Now.
How many dollars out of your pocket per month?
I'm paying $615 a week.
$615 a week interest?
Payments. Six. Interest,
so
it comes out. To
well,
about,
basically, just Andy, see it like that.
So imagine if you didn't have to pay that $615, you'd have a lot more money for your kids.
I would, but I still, like I said before, it would be a lot more drivers on the road, so that would cut into my revenue.
Okay.
There's more and more people are applying, and it'll be like by year's end, it'll be 10,000 drivers on the road, which is more than we have now as cabs.
Andy, there's a very quick answer for that part. Where these new applications appear, there's an increase in demand for riding services in cities because people are aware now that they don't need people like me, for example. I don't like driving. I really hate it. And there's a lot of people like me who own cars, and they love the fact that these new systems appear, and they just stop driving and they use these services more and more. So there's an increase in demand in all the cities where Uber appeared. There's such an increase in demand that the increase in the supply of taxi drivers, of just drivers per se, is compensated. And then not only are they free, if with the policy I'd have, there'd be more client going around. There's also the fact that you'd be free of the interest payments, which is basically, for you, in the way I see it, a huge tax cut.
Sure, but it's also the security factor in this. These drivers, they have no license, no insurance, commercial insurance provided by their insurance companies. No insurance company will provide them any kind of insurance for the safety of the customer.
Uber insures. That's what they say. But here's a situation. Taxi drivers in Montreal are anonymous. Nobody knows them. There's no review, and they're not liable for loss and satisfaction from customers. If there is a problem with the cases of Uber drivers, there's billions of dollars on the line for that company. They have a built-in incentive to provide a quality service. Otherwise, they lose brand value, they lose brand name recognition, or they're liable for lawsuits.
Thank you very much, Andy. Thanks for the call. You're listening to the Tommy Schnurmacher Show on CJAD. Stay with us. Vincent Geloza, we're talking about Uber. Interesting text coming in. It says, Tommy, your call is no different than any business who wants less competition to protect their income, but it's at the expense of everyone else who pays more and more and gets less and less, sort of like what the government does. Mario says, I'm not receptive to the idea that cab drivers are justified in gouging because their licenses are expensive. If you're charging the equivalent of a tank of gas just to get me to the airport, there's something wrong with your cost structure. That's not my problem. I don't see how you can suppress Uber any more than Craigslist. It's like banning cars to protect the buggy whip manufacturers. That's from Mario.
Well, I agree with all these statements. The only situation is these guys have bought licenses, which are also their retirement policies. For them, it's the equivalent of a REER, of a RRSP, if I can,
right,
in English. It would be unfair to deposit them of such a high value of wealth. They would throw them on the street, and it's completely true. But it's not their fault. They were forced in a system that was designed by politicians who were not thinking straight at the time they were doing this.
Okay, so they feel they'll use it, they'll pay the money for it, and then at the end they get it all back and it'll be worth more. They're hoping it'll be worth more than they sell it. Right.
That's the reason why people buy licenses. They don't increase the number of licenses enough to keep up with demand, so the price of the licenses keeps going up.
This next one says, what about those poor kids whose fathers fix typewriters for a living? Should we not have done something to protect them? And this one says, a monopoly would be created. Higher costs and fares would follow. No, we have the monopoly now.
We have the monopoly right now.
So what would happen with prices?
With what I'm proposing?
Yeah.
They'd go down.
Why?
They'd go down big time. Because in 21 cities where Uber has been allowed, we've seen that Uber offers much lower prices than normal taxi drivers. And imagine if on top of that there's – and the impact – on prices gets even more and more important. The reduction becomes more and more important the more and more usage of Uber there is, because less cars on the street, more usage of spaces in cars, less traffic jams, less consumption on fuel, much more efficient transport system. Basically, what you end up with is a situation where prices keep declining.
News Talk Radio, CJAD 800, CJAD.com.